Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Penn Jillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And the music here is deafening. I can't hear a thing in here. Wasn't that amazing?
That was so loud.
It was really loud. You know, you don't usually hear jazz at deep purple volumes, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to have like 125 decibels, you know, like the Ramones.
If we didn't have to do a radio show, it would have been fine. We just sit and listen all day. Crank it up, Patrick.
That was loud jazz. The problem is the New York feed is quieter, so we upped our headphones and it got all... This is fascinating stuff. We're at our Free FM, 866-313-FREE.
It's a big news day.
3733. A big news day. We're talking about our headphone volumes. 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. You're going to want to call in today. We're not doing the border stuff. We'll do that later. But what I'm fascinated by is the flu vaccine thing. Now, I'm not convinced at all that there's going to be a pandemic at all. You know, I'm not sure that the bird flu is going to sweep across the U.S. and kill
everybody. Well, that's not going to be the one, but there will be a pandemic.
At some point, sure. But, I mean, what do you mean?
I mean, we have pandemics with some regularity.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, not one that we need to give flu vaccine to everybody in the country, right?
Well, probably not.
Yeah.
Not yet.
but the bird flu seems to have kind of, the avian flu is not as big. I want to use the word avian instead of bird so it sounds smarter.
You don't want to say H5N1?
That's what I meant to say, H5N1. That's probably not going to be the big one, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, but it brings up a really interesting question because the plan that the United States government and mostly Canada has is that they vaccinate the oldest and sickest people first in order to save the most number of lives. That's the plan. And these bioethicists have come up with a different plan, which they're calling teens before toddlers. the U.S. Bioethicists, which I guess are Ezekiel Emanuel and Alan Wertheimer, are the two journalists that have just written in the two scientists that have just written in the journal Science, and with a whole new plan on flu planning, on who should get the vaccine first. Now, in the principle they have now, that the U.S. and Canada has now, it's save the most lives possible, and every life is exactly equal, and therefore, this principle of save the most lives gives the priority to the highest risk of being hospitalized or dying. So what you do is you give the flu vaccine to the people who are the sickest, people who have already are predisposed to be sick and die from the flu. You pump them up with the vaccine. Now, there's a limited amount of vaccine. And what I love about this is it becomes this great issue of what people think is important in life, how much control people should have. I mean, one way to do the flu vaccine is to let the free market take care of it.
And eBay.
A lot of eBay, exactly. You put the flu virus up there and say, okay, this vial is $150. Who wants it? And that's the way everything else is done. And it's interesting that the flu vaccine is considered this whole different thing, that the rules of supply and demand don't count. Well, of course, they will count. Because you will be able, there'll be black market, like Viagra,
I'll be on eBay.
Sure, and very hard to do quality control and stuff. So I guess the strict libertarian point of view, the nut point of view, the point of view I would have on this, because I like to take the nut point of view, is that the flu vaccine would just be nothing to do with the government. Companies would make the flu vaccine, and they would sell it to whatever price they wanted to sell it to anybody, whether you're 85 years old or whether you were a teen. But nobody likes that plan because everybody thinks that there's a better way to do it, that it's always better for the government to decide who lives and who dies than for individuals to have control over that. So what they're saying now is save the most lives possible, and this new thing is called the life cycle principle. This is the principle by Ezekiel and Allen, or Zeke and Al. Zeke and Al is what they call it, the Zeke and Al principle. And their idea is the life cycle principle, whereby each person should be able to live through the full cycle of life, to be young, then get a career, a family, and then grow old. Now, for a lot of people, if you want to wait for them to get a career, You're going to be waiting till like 65, 70, 85 anyway. You know, there are people that we know personally that aren't even close. As a matter of fact, juggling, I don't know if you can call much of a career. So you would still have a chance. No matter how old you get, you'd be on that list because, your career is juggler. Now, under that framework, this is interesting, 20-year-olds would be more valued than one-year-old babies. Pretty cool. See, my daughter is one, My son
almost
will be born.
Exactly.
My son will be born any minute now. As a matter of fact, in the middle of this this broadcast, I get a phone call saying, go to the hospital, and you'd have the last half hour with just Michael Goudeau. So there'd be parties thrown in Louisiana. The one-year-old, this is a quote from Zeke and Al, the one-year-old, we have not invested as much. And must. They're not on the brink of leading their own lives. And, of course, there is a point here that you pointed out, which is if you give the flu vaccine to everybody over 65 and everybody under one, the people most likely to die from it, and everyone else dies,
yeah, you
have real trouble. You have real trouble.
Grandmas and babies is all that's left.
It's all this baby. Grandmas do a fine job raising babies, but
yes,
sick grandmas.
Yes, but what about all the food and the you know, all those other things those grandmas and babies will need?
But it's an interesting issue for those who think hard about triage. And bioethicists are just the smartest people in the world. You know, they have like legal degrees and medical degrees, some of them. It's just great. Okay, now, the Save the Most Lives principle, that's what's being used in Canada and recommended to the U.S. government, said that you save people who are over 65 and have conditions that make them susceptible to flu. Emmanuel says, our principle says you save young people 20 to 40. To maintain public order, priority within that group would go to police officers, firefighters, grocery delivery clerks, telecommunications people, and other essential service workers. So the first people to get the flu vaccine are the people who administer the flu vaccine,
yeah,
which is very important.
That's
because
a good idea.
Those bastards are going to steal it anyway. Right? That's not even a bioethical thing. It's just like, oh, we're going to tell the guys giving the flu vaccine that they can't have any, but they're going to give it out. Okay, I'm just, shh, there's one shot.
Oops.
Shh, there's two shots. There's, oh, sorry, stuck myself. Sorry. Oh, by the way, you die. And the next one, shh, you know, you have to do that. And then, you know, the firefighters and the police and so on.
The grocery delivery clerks.
See, this is written in Canada. So there's words like grocery delivery clerks, you know. So, yeah, and all you got to do. Do we have any friends? We have one friend, don't we? Isn't Brian? Brian's a nurse, right? He works in ER. Wouldn't he be like one of the ones administering? Okay, I'm going to invite him over again. Give him something nice. Hey, Brian, if you're listening now, you like hookers. When's your birthday? I want Brian to love me because the guys who have the flu vaccine are going to be able to actually cop a vial. We're going to have Brian over, my buddy Brian, who's a nurse here and who gives shots. We're going to have him over in the next month
we
or so.
Barbecue with this many.
Have a nice barbecue with him.
Get over.
Have a few hookers. Give him. Also, I'm going to teach him a lot about palming. I'm going to teach him how to do a French drop. You know, so we can hold the vial in his hand and make a couple disappear. Because all he's really got to do is cop 10 vials. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone else in the U.S. can die. So he can just
And
Patrick will give him $100 to gamble, and Happy Jack will buy him donuts. We're going to treat Brian really, really well. So I suggest anybody that is a flu worker, please take care of them really well. Take them out to movie, treat them really well, get in good with them.
Also give them our number and have them call us.
866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. Yeah.
If you'll have access to the flu virus,
this is very important. This is very important. We want to talk about the bioethics and who should be triaged in what order, how you decide who lives and who dies. We really want to talk about that. But if while you call in, you're pretty sure you're one of the workers who's going to be administering the flu vaccine, well, then there's negotiation that can happen. I mean, we can certainly get you to come to the Penn & Teller show, certainly the Lance Burton show. We could buy you 3 or 4 dozen donuts, wouldn't you think, Happy Jack? And it would just be, we're not we're not asking for any favors out of you in the future, but we would just want, you know, your home phone number and your cell phone number and probably where your kids go to school. That's 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Yeah, CBS, we'll get you a flight out here and stuff. We want to be really good friends.
Tickets for Tamiflu. That's our new our new motto.
Tickets for Tamiflu. It really is a tough issue. See, now, they're saying the priorities are, first, healthcare workers, paramedics, ambulance drivers, public health workers.
You know, I'm surprised bioethicists isn't higher on that list.
We need someone to make these decisions as we go along. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Bioethicists is not even on the list, nor, by the way, is jugglers.
Yeah, well.
Juggler. Okay, here we go.
Jugglers will never be on that list.
Healthcare workers, essential service providers, police, fire, army, utility workers, mortuary personnel.
That's great.
That's when you always. Well, you have to dispose of the bodies. You have to do that safely. So you got to have mortuary personnel. That's a good gig. Persons at high risk of fatal outcomes. This is the one we have now. This is the one, not the one the bioethicists are suggesting. They do healthcare workers, essential service provider. Everyone agrees on this. This is where we separate Zeke and Al. Persons at high risk of fatal outcomes. For example, persons over 65, pregnant women, children 6 to 23 months, people in nursing homes. They're the top of the list after the care workers. Then we go down to healthy adults. Let's take a phone call. Maybe this is someone that has flu vaccine.
Let's hope it is. This is line 3. Let's talk to Danny. Danny, you there?
Hey, Danny. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I really don't think that the flu vaccine is necessary for like 90% of the people.
What makes you say that?
When I was growing up, even now as an adult, none of my family ever gets the vaccine, and none of my friends do. I think it's like my mom still needs it. But it's been like a marketing thing.
But you do understand that every flu that comes through is an entirely different disease, right?
Yeah, but I'm also a doctor, Chinese medicine, and we treat people with natural vitamins when the winter season is coming. And I agree, people need it, but it's got that hand where it's like fear of the flu.
Now, you said you're a doctor?
Of Chinese medicine.
A doctor of Chinese medicine. You're not an MD?
No.
Okay. So you give people roots and herbs and stuff like that?
Either that or for the winter, we give them vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin D to keep their immune system strong. I mean, some people, like I said, the elderly, I think need it, but young, healthy people, I mean, I think it's just a marketing thing.
Marketing for the people who make the flu vaccine?
Something like the vitamin C thing?
Are you there?
Or the zinc thing? Yeah. I mean, there is no evidence whatsoever that zinc helps with colds or flu, is there?
I think the zinc, there is a little bit of evidence. I know for the vitamin C that there's very, very little.
Yeah.
It's gone.
So if you're a doctor of Chinese medicine, where did you study medicine?
I think we've lost him.
Yeah, that was a tenuous call. Anyway, I believe the reason is he's powering his cell phone with zinc. He's putting in zinc and vitamins and so on. But you know, a lot of people, I think that the flu is essentially the same disease coming through again and again. But the flu killed how many people in the 19-teens?
Oh boy, lots, many millions,
millions. It really went worldwide instantly, just in a flash.
And that was, before
jet travel was as prevalent or even went around at all, right?
Yeah.
There weren't many jets.
Not many jets in 1918.
One or two. I think Howard Hughes had one. But other than that, there weren't really many. Get another call you want to take? 866-313-FREE, 3733. We're throwing caution to the wind.
Caution to the wind. Let's go with line number one.
Line number one. Let's see if the phones work this time.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, that's
hello?
Kay.
Hello?
Kay, you there?
You there, Kay? Oh, you have the phone
hello?
On, I think. Do you have a radio on near you there, Kay? Because I think I'm hearing myself back. Yeah, well, We're going to have to lose that call.
Let's go to line two. Let's try George on line two. You got there, George, by any chance?
Hello.
Hey, George. Hey, what's up, man?
Hello.
I'm here. What's up?
Well,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, George.
We can hear you. Can you hear us? Yeah.
Boy, this is an expensive bad phone connection. I could use my cell phone if I wanted to talk to people like this.
You know what it is? It's all the NSA having to do all the, you know, they're trying to find out exactly who's calling whom and trying to lay it up. So I'm going to go down the list some more. After, this is what we have now for the list. You go to healthcare workers, essential service people, then they go to the really sick, 65, over 65, pregnant, nursing homes, children 6 to 23 months. Then you go to healthy. And then after the healthy adults, you go to children 24 months to 18 years. So the last people on the list are 24 months to 18 years old. Those are the people that, you know, teens and children that had the whole life ahead of them are at the bottom of the list for getting the flu vaccine. And the refined life cycle principle, this is the one that that Zeke and Al are suggesting. Starts with vaccine production and distribution workers, because they'll steal it anyway. That's the rationalization there, I'm sure. That's the justification. Frontline healthcare workers, people 13 to 40 with less than two high-risk conditions, such as chronic respiratory disease, heart or kidney disease, diabetes, or depressed immune system because of cancer, HIV. So anybody that's healthy gets it next. Then people 7 to 12 and 41 to 50 with less than two high-risk conditions. Then people 6 months to 6 years, 51 to 64. People over 65 are next to the last. And people 6 months to 64 years with more than two high-risk conditions are the bottom of what they're suggesting here. Let's try another call.
Yeah. Well, I was going to suggest that you and I should try to get jobs as grocery clerks, because that's about the only one on the list we're qualified for. And it's pretty high. I could be a grocery clerk. I can deliver groceries.
I could do, too. We could do it in our Canada. Spare time. We have some time. Want to take another call?
Yeah, sure. Let's try to talk to John on line one. What do you say? You there, John?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, hey. This sounds much better. You have a good connection. What's up?
Thanks. This whole thing is just total nonsense. It's just another one of the government's ways to get everyone scared and mind off of what's really going on.
So you think there's really no fear of the bird flu at all? Uh-huh. And what makes you say that?
It's just because of this total George Bush. Let's scare everyone to see how much ruin this country up.
Well, you know, I'm so inclined to agree with you, except the reaction to the flu might be that, but you're not going to get George Bush to get the scientists to be able to lie about that. And
I think the scientists are just falling out of proportion. There's always going to be these things. It's nature's way of taking care of us, which we've really screwed up with.
But nature's way, I disagree with you there. I don't think we're overpopulated at all. So you think that nature's way of dealing with us is having a lifespan of about 24 years old. How old are you?
I'm 46.
Yeah. Without, if nature has its way, you're dead.
Hey, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
It'll be hard to argue with him then, isn't it?
He wins that argument hands down.
We keep fearing. That's why people be 100, they don't have life insurance. By the time they're desperate, unless they're really millionaires, which I don't worry about.
So what's your view of utopia? Utopia is no medical intervention for anybody anywhere.
But why do we panic ourselves over something that's inevitable?
What is inevitable?
That these are going to come along, and there's no sense in ringing the bell, oh my God, the sky is falling, and all these Christians getting crazy over this kind of stuff. I'm a devout atheist, I agree with you there.
Yeah, well, Christians getting crazy, that's easy. Tom Hanks can make Christians crazy.
Yeah, that's the problem.
But, you know, I'm interested. Anybody that talks about nature versus medicine, I always wonder where the line is drawn. Do you allow people to get surgery on their teeth, dental surgery? Do you allow people to splint broken arms? Do you allow people to wash their hands after coughing? Or do you just let absolutely go rampant? And once you do that, of course, you do have much less sickness because everybody but the most healthy does die off. We'll talk about this triage thing a little bit more after this. 866-313-FREE-3733. We're talking flu. This is Penn Jillette here. We're on the air. Free FM. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. We have gotten so many Gmails telling us that the callers were echoing. It just seems like the people care no matter what we talk about. No matter what we talk about, they care much more about the technical problems of the show.
The quality.
866-313-FREE. That's 866-313-FREE-3733. We believe we have got the problem licked on the phone calls. We'll take some phone calls now. There's some good ones. I don't want to just take a random phone call. But I like that last guy who was talking to us. He had some good points of view. I want to read this one from a man named Chris, or maybe a woman named Chris. I don't really know. I don't think I can get you a sample of the flu vaccine, but what if I can get the shot myself and then just ship you a sample of my blood? Would that earn me tickets to the P&T show and some Krispy Kremes? There's a hard call. Now, if your blood has antibodies to the flu, that's a pretty cool thing. If you could just sell your blood on eBay. eBay yeah. doesn't allow the selling of blood. But let's just say hypothetically that they did. Isn't that supposed to work? Isn't that supposed to work? I mean, aren't you supposed to, if they have the antibodies, wouldn't the blood help?
No, I don't think it would help.
Okay.
Well, you need to stimulate your own antibody production. So you need to send in something that kicks your body into action.
And here's a person that's written in named Paul from Canada who says, I think people with high amounts of contact of other people as a condition of their job should get priority, such as pizza delivery guys, prostitutes, bartenders, and hobos. And then he says, in all seriousness, the real way to decide who gets a shot is to give it to those who are willing to pay for it or have purchased health plans that cover it. That's a guy from Canada writing in that, who believes so much in buying their health services. But I do think that's true. I mean, this guy that called in and says he doesn't think it's any big deal. He's a Chinese doctor. He wants to take, you know, bear liver and stuff. I think
I don't think he said bear liver.
I know. I made that up. Isn't it the gallbladder of bears?
Yeah, gallbladder bear, yeah.
but whatever he wants to take in Chinese medicine, he doesn't
sure.
want a flu shot. Right. So why should the government
worry about... He wants tiger bones.
Yeah, he wants to grind them up and stuff. Let's try another call. We feel brave. What the hell?
Let's go wild. This is Betty on line one, and I hope we can get Betty. She seems like she's going to be a good call. You there, Betty?
Hey, Betty, what's up?
Who? She's there. I can hear her. Can she hear us is the next question. Can you hear us, Betty?
Are you there, Betty? Oh, man. But for a moment, we had Betty. It was kind of beautiful, wasn't it? It was kind of beautiful.
I wanted to talk to Betty. She's an ER doc, man. That was going to be good.
Oh, really?
This was our in.
Oh, man.
now if we die of the flu, we're going to have to blame the tech guys.
You know me. I'm the guy who sits across from you.
That guy.
I'm always looking for an excuse to talk about parasites and disgusting diseases. And I kind of think we've segued into this a little bit.
Thanks to the phone line parasite, we'll now go on to parasites.
Do you know about this this infection in South Texas?
I did a little bit about this.
There's this article that I'm reading right here on KENS 5 Eyewitness News from Texas. And it starts by saying, if diseases like AIDS and bird flu scare you, wait till you hear about this one. Oh. It should say, if diseases like AIDS and bird flu fascinate you. You know, when I was flying back from L.A. last time with Chris Angel, because we're dating. I was sitting next to an ER doc, and I had just such a great, great time talking to her about infectious diseases and the most disgusting stuff we've done. But have you heard about Morgellons disease?
I have, yes. Unfortunately, I have.
Morgellons disease is, to me, the coolest thing ever, okay? The symptoms. These people have, like, beads of sweat, but it's black and terrible. Hari, okay? Wow. Sometimes little black specks that come out of the lesions, and sometimes little fibers, okay?
Blue That's the fibers. Worst.
Blue fibers come out white, black, sometimes red fibers come out of their hands and fingers, and while all that's going on, it feels like bugs crawling under your skin. 100 cases of Morgellons disease have been reported in South Texas. It has the makings of a horror movie, they say, okay? It's a legitimate disease, bizarre symptoms. The doctors say they wouldn't believe it if they didn't see it. It looked like a piece of spaghetti was sticking about a quarter to an eighth of an inch long, sticking out of his chest. I tried to pull it as hard as I could, and I could not pull it out.
Nearly all people with this disease report extreme difficulty with mental concentration and short-term memory. Duh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is not going to be happy.
So, I mean, screw bird flu. Let's get a vaccine for this. And let's make sure the juggler's on the top of the list. Because it comes out of your hands, Michael Goodell.
You could not
the
juggle. Jugglers,
you couldn't juggle. Your livelihood would be gone. I mean, certainly you don't need short-term memory to juggle. You don't need concentration. But little fibers out of your hands could screw you up badly. Let's take another phone call. Let's be brave again.
Let's try line four. This is Elizabeth. Are you there?
Hey, Elizabeth, what's up?
No, she's not
Hi.
There.
My name is Elizabeth, and I work for the school system, and my favorite thing about it is, like, dealing with the parents who don't want their children immunized for some stupid reason.
Yeah, well, by like, some stupid reason, you
mean
religion,
don't you? Either they're Seventh-day Adventists, or they just, you know, read some article in Alternative Health magazine, and they don't want their children immunized, and therefore their children become kind of like a little Petri dish for whatever is floating around.
Yeah. That's just a horrible thing. And do you have conversations with the parents?
Hello?
Do you have conversations with the parents?
Hi.
Wow. Man, we're just all over the place, aren't we?
Have we lost that phone call, too?
It looks like it.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about the immunization thing.
Okay. Is that the problem?
It could be.
Okay. She's listening to the radio. Okay, well then, Rudy, why don't you kill that feed of the random radio coming through? There are people who there was a thing on House, you know, the medical show about there was a brief thing.
I like House.
Yeah,
it's a good show.
It's a really good show. I haven't watched it this year at all because we watch it on DVD. We don't watch it broadcast, so I'm way behind. But there was a brief, a really brief hunk that they did about parents that came in and thought that the immunization stuff, the vaccines, were all hooey, and it was just big corporations trying to make too much money, and she was going to boycott it. And House had a great, really wonderful speech, very well written, about how that's exactly right. If you just refuse to buy this and everybody else refuses to buy it and all their kids die, those companies will learn and bring their prices down.
Also, there's a large body of people who believe that the fact that we're doing all of the vaccinations kind of close together is also a cause for autism, and there's actually a large study showing that that's not the case.
Yeah,
30,000 kids tested, and it's not related. So
yeah, it
goes on. I mean, there's no stopping it. It doesn't matter what you do as far as the testing is concerned. People will still believe it because they read it somewhere once.
Yeah. And they also there's such a fear of, and that's one of the most horrible things that the government does when they put out scare techniques, like when they lie about marijuana and they lie about heroin and they lie about meth and they lie about all this stuff. What they do is they put in a danger, because when the real truth comes out, people won't follow it. And why should they? You know, when they said that marijuana leads to heroin, why should they believe about the bird flu thing? When you have a government that's just lying all the time as a matter of course, the danger is not the false negatives. You know, it's the false positives. You know, I just said that backwards. It's the false negatives. It's the fact that, you know, you start to not believe anything, and some of the stuff is true. We're going to try to take some calls after this. There's another break. Let people work on it.
Yeah, we got our ER doctor back on, so we're going to get her.
Free. Please hold on. The ER doctor, hold on. 866-313-FREE. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, try to clean things up a little bit. It's our fault, people. It's not yours. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Penn Jillette. We are back here trying to talk about the flu, and the real problem, of course, is our phone lines in New York City. And here's a I'm going to just read this because it just came in. This is from a guy named Kevin, who's the director of microbiology at Brooks Army Medical Center Department of Pathology. So different than a cat who's interested in Chinese medicine. Flu shots are, this is the letter to us, flu shots are especially important for those very young or very old, only to their pure poor immune system response to pathogens. In the young, their systems have not developed fully, and they don't have the antibodies, herd exposure, to fight off infection. While the old have immune systems that may not work as effectively, which is why cancer overtakes us as we mature. If flu becomes a problem, the focus should always be on the young and the very old, since those in the middle can usually effectively fight off the virus, unless they are immune-compromised, HIV, etc. Therefore, the government, if involved, should only focus their efforts on these folks, but they don't waste of time. Okay. Therefore, the government, if involved, should only focus their efforts on these folks, but they don't. It's a waste of money and time. In the military, we give them all to active duty, knowing they can fight off disease, since we live in close quarters, and if someone picks it up, it'll spread quickly. Agree that the government has a real interest in keeping us scared, and many folks, CDC, Department of Health, have a vested interest in your fear. Kevin, sorry, there was a typo in the email. I had a little trouble reading that. There's a guy who, if these credentials are true, is somebody that that knows his stuff. That's what we're talking about here. The idea of whether you do the triage and whether you decide that it's the healthy people that most deserve to live or the people who need the virus more. Whether we need people more for our society or whether the people need the vaccine more. Let's take a call here, 866-313-FREE.
There's a chance we have our ER doc back on. Let's try line five. It's a wild day. Let's take line five. Woohoo! Are you there, Betty?
Hello, Betty?
No,
not a chance. Not a chance. It's too bad, you know, because I was kind of... Hello, there Betty! She... Betty! Betty!
Turn off your radio, Betty.
Turn off your radio, Betty, and just talk to me. Betty! I just heard a little brief. Are you there? Are you there? Is there hope? Like,
how's
one.
Barney? Is Barney okay?
Betty, tap once for yes and twice for no. You know, at the rate we're going with the New York phone calls, we could just as well be talking to the spirit world. You know, we have Albert Schweitzer on line three. Are you there? What do you think of the vaccine? What do you think? What do you think?
I think we should pretend Albert Schweitzer's on the phone.
What does Harry Houdini think of the flu? What does Harry Houdini think of the flu? Do we have any good Gmails you want to read there?
I send them to you, man. Oh, hey, there we go.
There's a dial tone. Happy Jack. We are Happy Jack is really not happy. Happy Jack. Remember the scene in Deer Hunter where they're playing Russian roulette and had the gun? Mow, mow. That's what he's doing. He's spinning a chamber and just doing it. What call should we take? How about if we get a call through, they'll tell you what chamber you should put the bullet in before you spin it there, Happy Jack.
We do have a Gmail that says, this is from Bob the Skeptical Christian.
Oh, good. I always like when he calls.
I know. It's good. It's good. But
I'm sorry.
Perhaps the phone echoes were caused by the mockingbird flu. Bob's trying to save the show. Nicely done.
I do want to make the point that I made in setting this up. And if we had phone calls, I would have been talking about this during the calls. But without the phone calls, I'll talk about it cold. I think that the issue of triage, I mean, this is the thing. If the government makes these decisions, they will make the decisions badly. The government does everything badly. The government is force. And I think that my point of view on even stuff like the flu vaccine is get it done by people buying the flu vaccine. Then you can have people donate money to whatever charity wants to buy the flu vaccine, and then they can distribute it the way they think is right, and then you have more people working. The problem with the government is, because they have so much power and because it's centralized, if they make a mistake, it's a global dangerous mistake. It goes through the entire nation and through the entire world, whereas charities working individually can different things, and some fail and some succeed, but you don't have, it's kind of like sexual reproduction. Ha-ha. I'm going to tie that in. Really? Many scientists believe that sexual reproduction, I guess it's pretty well established, that sexual reproduction developed in order to give a much more mixing of the genetic code to fight against parasites and to build immune systems. And when you do that kind of thing, many things do fail, but some do succeed. It's exactly the way the free market works. You know, it's John Stossel did that ripoff of Bulls hit. He did this show on 2020. Bull Shoes, yeah. And John Stossel is a great guy. Really great guy.
I like his show.
I love his show, but it's
a
complete and utter ripoff of our show on Showtime.
Well, you know how
to
smart
the point that he had a bull there. He had a bull there, and he's posing with a shovel. And he goes, people just call this bull, and I have to shovel it up. It's like, oh, okay, John. Okay, just knock off our show. We have to do a bull's hit on 2020. But you're doing our show. And, of course, he had to do some jive ones, like our elephants afraid of mice and red cars get more speeding tickets. But in among that, he did say, my favorite one, and boy, since the calls aren't working, I'll say this. If the phone lines worked, I wouldn't say this. But he also attacks one of my favorite myths of all time, that teachers are underpaid. Teachers are not underpaid. The teachers in my high school were the most overpaid individuals on the planet. Now, if you want to compare teachers to, like, Madonna and to, like, basketball stars, then they are really overpaid. Because basketball stars and Madonna bring joy to people. And the teachers in my school brought nothing but misery coupled with no knowledge whatsoever.
You don't think perhaps that was your school? You don't think there are other schools that the teachers are good and bringing joy to?
As long as in Greenfield Public High School, these teachers are not paid more than 25 cents an hour. Other schools we can talk about. But no, John Stossel does point out that when you correct for the hourly wage, you know, take out the 2 months they don't work in the summer and so on, teachers get paid more than architects, you know. There's a whole list of people, but I don't remember it because it wasn't my research. But they get paid pretty well. And he also attacks Bono. You know, he talks about Bono saying the government should give money to Africa. When we give money to Africa as a government, we give the money to the governments of Africa, where it makes a few people very, very rich and doesn't get to the poor people. The thing Bono should say, and I'm very big on telling Bono what to say. that I believe is what my major calling in life.
Part of the hierarchy of the world. Bono
sure.
tells our government what to do. You tell Bono
what
tell
to
Bono
do. I tell Bono what to do.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what to do?
If you have some flu vaccine, you can. And he points out that the money would be much better spent if individuals gave the money to charity and then the charity distributed that money in Africa and food and so on. And then the charities that do get really rich off it and don't get the money through, you find out in the free market takes care of it. But I'm going to tell Bono all that after I tell Bono to play better music. I'm going to say, Bono, your band U2 sucks. Take care of that.
We need to prioritize.
It's triage. It's triage. Everything is just triage. First, we get Bono to play better music. Then we take care of Bono taking care of the people in the world. You know what? Look at me. What am I?
I'm looking at you.
I'm a cockeyed optimist. Aren't I? Cockeyed optimist.
I think cockeyed was the word I was going to use. Yeah.
Cockeyed optimist. That's Penn Jillette. When you think of Penn Jillette, you think cockeyed optimist. You know, I'm going to prove that to you.
How?
We're going to take a phone call.
Oh, my gosh.
We have not had one conversation yet today. We have gone through a full hour of free FM.
What's that joke? Was the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Well, that's not a joke.
No,
that's a definition of insanity. We are doing the same thing over and over again. And you know, a lot of morning radio show guys will go, hey, we're crazy. We have the noise. We're wild. We're wild here on the radio. We're showing you true insanity. You know, if you want to listen to a crazy radio show, here's one. We are trying the exact same thing again and expecting a different result. You know, if you have, do you have, like, you know, bell sounds and whistles
we
and farts and horn stuff set up on the thing? You could be playing those now like crazy because this, we're really going to try something insane. Okay, pick a line.
Line four, honk, honk. Are you there, John?
Woo-hoo! It's me, Long Island.
Yeah, hey, John.
How you doing, John? Yes.
Penn Jillette.
Yes, I'm here. What's up, man?
John Fromer. I'm calling to tell you that you're under the assumption that the pandemic is coming, the avian bird flu.
Uh-huh.
But it's been known that the head of the CDC herself said that it is not as dangerous as they thought it was, and there still hasn't been any transitional or trans-species transmission.
Yes, I did
now,
read that.
The thing is, vaccinations, they also cause flu-like symptoms themselves.
They sure do.
Also, at the injection site sometimes it's very tender. I had a friend at a certain hospital, I can verify this, you know, off the air, that he died from anaphylactic shock.
Sure, I know that happens.
Now, the thing is, also mercury is a lot of times used as a vehicle to inject into the patient. Also, possibly, like the HIV infections, that might have been caused by the transmission.
Okay, well, I was with you, John. I was with you on the...
or certain portions of the rhesus monkey flu into a vaccination, which they did in Africa in the 50s as a
right, well, I was with you.
Transmission of HIV.
John, can you hear me?
Also, let me see.
Can you hear me at all, John?
My mother herself, now, she had the chickenpox vaccination when she was a child. And still, when she turned 65 or 66, she developed a herpes simplex, which is also called shingles.
Right.
So because it stays dormant in the nerve endings.
Can you hear me at all, John?
Up again, can you hear me at all? When I got my vaccinations, I got the mumps.
I think we're
going
to have to. I think we're
going to
have to hang up on John because he can't hear me. Is that the problem?
Yeah,
I'm so sorry, John. I was with John. You know, with the CDC has said it's much less dangerous than they thought, and there was not the migrating birds did not have bird flu, and it seems like less of a problem. What I was fascinated by was the triage stuff, and this is the thing that makes me so crazy is that. When you have the stuff that John said that was true, you know, the stuff that it is less dangerous, and there are always going to be negative reactions to the we have John again on the
we
phone.
Have John again.
I
can actually hear us now.
Oh, you can't hear me.
There you go.
Like I said, John, I was with you up with flu vaccines are always dangerous.
On the radio.
Anything you. Oh, you can't hear me. Just hear me on the radio. Okay. Could you hang, Rudy, just hang up on John just for his own sanity because we do have a delay here. So he's a little bit behind. And so he was trying to listen on the radio and then respond to what I was saying. And with that kind of delay, you would just never make it whatsoever. I think that the first people, I think we should do this backwards. And we should take the flu and inject it into people. And the first people we should inject the flu into are the people who are running phone lines for radio shows. Just inject them with a good dose of the flu, fill them right up with that, and see if they develop antibodies on their own. I believe that's the only way we can possibly go. This is Penn Jillette. I'm in Las Vegas with Michael Godeau. We're very, very sorry for all the technical problems. We'll have them cleaned up by tomorrow. In the meantime, make a list of who you want to save first from the flu. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.